Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
You're listening to our number two in the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy ever, man.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
According to the Q's fan in Decatur, Butler is the only non-Catholic school in the Big East. So there you go. So all of the Big East is Catholic. So that advantage, if there is one, for Chicago Loyola or Loyola Chicago, will kind of go out the window. All right, joining us now, talk about the Final Four, because there's no race this weekend. He's got just a tremendous job for ProSportsInfo.com, Steve Merrill. Steve, welcome back. How are you, man?
Hey, Tom, doing well.
No race this weekend, Easter Sunday. I'd hate to be going up against Villanova or Chicago or Loyola Chicago on, Holy Saturday. I mean, there's a lot of things that you guys put into handicapping these games, you know what I mean? But do you have to add in the Catholic factor? You got two Catholic schools in here, and it's Easter weekend, for goodness sakes.
Yes, it hasn't worked too well for Notre Dame football, but they play in the fall, I guess, right? So
it's not Easter. Easter's the biggest
Catholic
thing.
Holidays that time.
Yeah, Easter's the biggest thing on the Catholic calendar. This is bigger than Christmas. I mean, Easter, this is Resurrection Weekend here. I mean, you got a nun over there, 98 years old. You know she's got to be pretty close to the Almighty. I mean, man, I don't know if I'd want to be playing those guys on Easter Sunday or on Holy Saturday.
No, she's only 96. She sounds like she's 30. I'll tell you what, if you were watching the game on TV and you heard her speak, you would think she's in her 30s. It's just remarkable how sharp she is. I think it's 96, but either way, I mean, it's just remarkable. And I will say this, all jokes aside, you do start to wonder a little bit about it when you handicap it because, I do feel like they're kind of a team on a mission, and there is something special going on there. But we've seen this before. In fact, there's been three other 11 seeds that have made it this far, and every one of them lost in the Final Four. So what Loyola has done so far is actually not out of the ordinary. It's the fourth time it's happened now in like 30 years, but none of them have gone past this round. Yet they have a fortunate matchup with Michigan. I mean, they avoid the two number ones in the other half of the bracket. But let's also put things in perspective. Although they were my Cinderella double-digit sleeper to make the Final Four when the tournament began, they've had a fortunate path. They played a 7 and a 9 seed the last two games to get here. The only 3 seed they played was Tennessee. They were a 5-point dog in that game. They won at the buzzer. Now they're facing another 3 seed as a 5-point dog. Definitely could happen, but they're going to really have to hope that Michigan maybe misses some of the 3-point shots, and that's, to be honest, what determines most of these games nowadays.
Yeah, but we can't discount what they've done. I had a handicapper earlier in the week said the same thing. They're like, well, who have they beaten? They beat a Tennessee. They beat this. They beat this guy. Well, wait a minute. They beat those people. They're Loyola Chicago, and they still beat the people who beat the people. You know what I mean? They beat K-State, who beat, Kentucky and so on and so forth. So, I mean, we can't discount what they've done. The flip side is, of those 11s, and I don't know if you went this deep on the research, but I know there's other 11 seeds that made it to the Final Four. Were any of them just a 5.5-point dog? Because that's kind of surprising to me. If this game is played on a cold night in January, I mean, Michigan's like a 15-point favorite, aren't they?
Well, the other thing is, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure VCU, the most recent team to do it, played Butler that year. And that's the year Butler was maybe like an 8 seed, I think.
Right.
So VCU was actually a very small dog in that game. But then again, Butler was like an 8 seed. So, that's basically the equivalent of an 11 seed at that point. George Mason... I know they beat UConn the year they did the run. I'm not sure that was the Final Four game. They played Wichita State. They played UConn. They had a much tougher path, as you said, and they were 8-9 point dog in a lot of those games. The thing is, one of the reasons I liked Loyola as a sleeper, a couple reasons. First of all, they play that slow half-court defensive style, which I always like in the tournament, and they're very diversified on offense. And a perfect example has been the last two games. Clayton Custer, player of the year in the Missouri Valley, hasn't even been the best player the last two games. There's been a different player each game. So you could make an argument that their best player hasn't led them, and they've still been winning, so that is a positive. And yes, they've beaten who they've had to beat, but, you know, still a 7 and a 9 seed. Keep in mind, they won their first three games by a total of 4 points. So they also could have lost every one of those games, basically, three of the four at least. So, yeah, they've been playing right on the edge. But then again, that's all it takes to win as a 5-point dog. And Michigan is a dangerous team, but if those threes aren't falling, the reason I keep bringing that up is because this game is in the Alamo Dome. It's a huge sightline difference from the other arenas. And I think you could see a situation where Michigan starts a little slow from shooting outside the arc.
Well, and Michigan, remember, they had one game they won. I think they became the only team to win in the three-point era without making a three-point shot. Then they shot absolute lights out in one game. They were like 70%. But then in their Elite Eight game, they shot terrible again, and Florida State just kind of laid down at the end there for them. So I think if they shoot like they did against Florida State, I think Loyola's got an excellent chance.
Oh, no question. Loyola's a much better defensive team than Florida State. And granted, Florida State didn't have any timeouts for like the last 2.5 minutes of that game, but some of their decisions were terrible. I mean, they're down by four. They could have easily gotten a two-point basket. They take a bad three, and then there's 12 or 13 seconds left. They don't foul. And once again, they didn't have any timeouts for the several minutes left of that game, so I understand the 19- and 20-year-old players probably didn't know what to do, but I think Hamilton's a mediocre coach at best. I think Pastore is a much better coach. I think they're much better defense and a much better team overall. This is a great team. I mean, they have four or five guys on offense that can score. So Loyola is definitely a live dog here. And I think Michigan is a vulnerable, you know, favorite for a Final Four game.
Yeah. All right. On the other one, you got the Blue Bloods. It's the 1v1 matchup. Villanova, a 5-point favorite over Kansas. I didn't think Kansas would get here to get here. It feels like Nova's playing the best basketball in this deal, and Vegas has them as the clear favorite to win it all. What do you think about the Villanova-Kansas game?
It's amazing with all the upsets we see every year that the cream still rises to the top. In fact, 85% of the time over the past three decades, it's been a 1, 2, or 3 seed that's won the title, and three of these teams are seeded 3 or higher, and Loyola's at 13-1 right now to be the champ. So basically, it's going to happen again this year. And it most likely will be the winner of this game between Villanova and Kansas, and most likely Villanova. They've got about a 67% chance of winning this game against Kansas as a 5-point favorite. And they're going to be anywhere from a 6 to 9 point favorite over Michigan or Loyola, depending on who wins the other game. So it's setting up pretty well for Villanova. They're at even money right now to win the next two games and win the title. They have the experience. And what I like about Villanova is they can play fast and slow. They're really the only team in the country that's comfortable playing at any tempo, which is really remarkable because most teams cannot do that. Kansas will look to speed things up, but if they get to the finals, Michigan and Loyola will look to speed things down, and Villanova can play either way. They're the most efficient offense in the country. One of the reasons they hit the three really well. First three games of the tournament, they broke a record. However, once again, the Alamo Dome's a great X factor here because they're going to rely more on that three-point shot, and those baskets aren't falling early. Kansas has enough talent offensively to keep it close. The difference here, though, is the Jayhawks are by far the weakest defensive team left in the tournament. In fact, Loyola is a top 20 defense, even with schedule adjustments. Michigan and Villanova, top 10, top 15. Kansas is barely in the top 40. So defensively, that's where they really struggle.
How much do you factor in the geography for Kansas being the closest one as far as being able to get there and the way their fans will travel? I would think they'd travel better than Villanova here on this deal. Chicago Loyola just doesn't have any fans other than their friends and family. But what do you think about in terms of, you know, Kansas being able to play, you know, basically just a few hours south for them?
Yeah, I think they'll have a little bit of a bigger contingency, but this arena is so big, you figure a lot of these tickets have been sold in advance. And if anything, Loyola will probably have the biggest rooting interest of anybody. They'll have the least amount of true fans and alumni there by far, yet they'll probably have the loudest crowd because you got to figure anybody who does not have an allegiance to Michigan is going to be cheering for Loyola. And then on top of that, anybody that's a Kansas or Villanova fan will definitely be cheering for Loyola. So, and if they keep that game close, I think they're going to get a real crowd edge. And that is something maybe you could factor in as a handicapping factor. I think the Villanova-Kansas game, it'll be more evenly split. It's just such a big arena, it probably won't be as noticeable.
If you like Loyola, I mean, there's five and a half points there. But if you like them, do you take them on a money line? Are they a better value on a money line than it would be? Or couldn't they lose a 2 or 3 point game? Do you want those 5.5 points?
Yeah, what's interesting about the money lines is a lot of sports books right now have plus five for both games. Now, there are a couple plus 5.5s on Loyola. It's more plus five everywhere on Kansas. So, you know, let's say 5.25. Loyola's a little bit of a bigger underdog. But if you look at the money lines across the board, even the books that both have plus five, Kansas is like plus 190. Loyola is like plus 230 on the money line. So they're almost 20, 30 cents higher to win outright. So I think that's kind of interesting because, you know, theoretically, a five-point dog should be the same. Now, one of the reasons that's the case is because the over-under line is 26 points lower in the Loyola game. It's around 129. It's around 155 in the Kansas game. So there again, when it's a higher-scoring game, those 5 points mean less. So theoretically, mathematically, Kansas has a slightly better chance of winning outright as a five-point dog for that reason.
Yeah, the individual numbers in the Villanova-Kansas game, 80 and 75 for Villanova. In the Loyola-Michigan game, it's 67-62. Michigan, you know, 77% of the money is on the over 129-130. I kind of feel it under. You know what I mean? I think if Michigan struggles a little bit and Loyola starts feeling it, Loyola is going to slow the game down. I feel like it's an under type game.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. The most public bet right now that I've seen among the sides and totals is the over in the Loyola-Michigan game. You're exactly right about that. A high percentage, 70 to 80% plus of the tickets and the total money's on the over. And you would think the public likes to play overs. This is an ugly defensive half-court game, but the fact that the Loyola-Kansas State game soared over the total last week with a couple minutes remaining, and I know because I actually had a strong best bet over 126 in that game for my clients. It landed at 140. But I do get a feeling this game could be a little bit different because although Kansas State's like Michigan, they like the half-court style, Kansas State is more willing to push the ball. And that's what I thought would happen last week, as would Loyola. I think Michigan's going to really try to slow this game down, and it's going to come down if they hit the threes or not. And once again, those sight lines are a concern. You can almost make an argument if you like the under, maybe take a look at the first half under. And another thing we talk about with like the Super Bowl, for example, is teams come out conservative. They don't want to make that first mistake. So I think a first half under makes sense. The problem with college basketball, though, is that you really get a discounted price. The over-under for the first half is 59. The second half is 70 because there's so many more fouls and scoring in the second half in college hoops. So you're getting a much lower price because of that.
Yeah, and finally, if you wanted to jump on somebody for the most outstanding player, Jalen Brunson is the favorite, followed by his teammate, Mikal Bridges. If you like Kansas to win that game, then you want to go with Malik Newman at 15-2, and you know, and then the chances are that he, you know, would lead them to a victory on Monday as well. But if there's a name that you like as a sleeper there, is it Muhammad Ali? Is it Charles Matthews from Michigan? Who would be a guy that you find good value in right now, throwing it on the to get behind for the most outstanding player?
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep in mind, Villanova and Kansas are going to put up a lot more points in their game. The over-under is 26 points higher. And whoever wins that game will be the point spread favorite in the finals. So I think you want to look at the Villanova and Kansas guys. And as you just mentioned, four of the top five favorites right now are either Villanova or Kansas players. In fact, Matthews is in the middle there, but then you got Newman and also Devontae Graham, don't forget, from Kansas at 8-1. That might be the best value because I think whoever wins that game will probably get most outstanding player. But the bottom line is it's going to probably be Brunson, if not Bridges, 2-1 and 4-1. You know, not a huge payoff there, but Villanova is the likely team to win both games, and that's why they're favored to get the most outstanding player as well.
Yeah. All right. Before I let you go, what about the nice to see NASCAR back after a three-week hiatus, right, that they came back and raced at Martinsville. Looked like NASCAR for a while there. It was pretty racy, and Stuart Haas gets the win. Ford gets the win again. And some good racing, a little Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin thing going on. I got no problem with that. That's what short track racing is about, and it's nice to see. It's maybe it's the tracks. Maybe it's not the cars or the drivers. It's just those tracks that they're racing on.
And it's the teams, too. Nothing has changed for Clint Bowyer. He was very good a few years ago. He could win at Richmond. He can win at some of these other tracks. And then he was terrible for a few years. Switches over to Stuart Haas, where Kevin Harvick has been great, where Kurt Busch has been competitive. And he wins a race and snaps 190 race losing streak. So it just shows, once again, there is a difference in quality in teams when you get to that top echelon. And that's why we keep talking about Gibbs, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin. They're in the mix every week. And it also speaks how poor Danica Patrick was, that she couldn't win or be competitive in the 10 car. Eric Almirola's been running top 10 now in that 10 car for Stewart Haas. It also speaks poorly on Daniel Suarez, who's in the 19 car. Carl Edwards dominated in that car. Gibbs dominates, yet he's struggling. So that makes you wonder about him as well.
Yeah. All right, man, appreciate you. Have a great Easter weekend, and we'll get back to talking some NASCAR next week as well.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, thank you, Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. All right, let's get a break. Kevin McAlpine will be in from the Braves Radio Network. We'll get into a little bit of Braves off of the big win yesterday and also look forward a little bit to tonight's game as well. It's the Tom Abraham Show right here on 730-1039. Yeah.
730 and 1039, the UMP, WUMP.
Hey, gang, Tom Abraham here for Woody Anderson Ford. Have you noticed the weather lately? Spring is definitely in the air, and you know what that has me thinking about? Getting my vehicle serviced at Woody Anderson Ford. Now, Woody Anderson Ford at Jordan and Sparkman Lanes has incredible new service lanes. So clean, it's like pulling into a NASCAR garage. Plus, the service team is first rate. They're knowledgeable and courteous. So if you go in there and say, it's kind of making a whirring sound when I turn the wheel, or it clunks at the stoplight, well, they got you covered. So get your spring service now at Woody Anderson Ford.
Listen to what Dave Ryan says about Andro 400.
Andro 400, I really love it. It's amazing to me that I feel so good. I've lost 50 pounds. I was a size 38 waist. I've gone down to a 32 waist. My mood has changed. I don't get stressed out. It gave me so much more energy. Energy to walk. Energy to play sports. Everything is starting to work again. It feels like I'm 25. My wife is happy. I'm so happy. I'm just a completely different man. I'm taking this stuff to the grave with me.
Men, have you lost energy and gained belly fat? Are you feeling stressed out? Fight back with Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to increase your testosterone. For over a decade, Andro 400 has helped men lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel 20 years younger. Go to andro400.com. Andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
The credit card companies are bullies, and they don't fight fair. Once they max out your debt, they keep hitting you when you're down, slamming you with outrageous interest rates and late fees to make sure you never get on your feet again. But now you have someone in your corner who will help you fight back and get debt-free faster than you ever imagined. We're Clear One Advantage. Call us now for free information to see how quickly you can resolve your debt. 1-800-330-5822. We'll stand up to the credit card companies and fight to help you resolve your debt in the shortest time possible and save the most money possible, too. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. If we don't resolve your debt, you don't owe us a single penny. So let us give you a fighting chance to defeat your debt. Call now for this life-changing free information and see how much you could save. 1-800-330-5822. That's 1-800-330-5822.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 797979. Text LIKE to 797979.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers, including 47781, available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
The Ump is the smartest sports talk in the Tennessee Valley. The other guys, they ain't so smart.
You don't know the difference between a CAT scan and cat food. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Ump.
Weather is sponsored by Boost Mobile. With Boost Mobile, you can get four lines for only $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. Plus, get up to four free Samsung J7 perks and 6 months of Hulu.
The sky becoming mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today, 61. Rather chilly tonight, clear with a low at 38. Tomorrow, a sunny day with a very nice warm-up, the high 71. And for Sunday, the sky partially sunny, a small chance of an afternoon rain shower, the high at 67. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
Markakis back in there, waiting, 1-1 pitch, fly ball hit to right and hit deep, Altair going back, looks up, it is gone! Three-run homer to win the game for Nick Markakis!
And that's what it sounded like yesterday when the Braves got the win on an exciting opening day. Jim Powell on a call on the Braves Radio Network. You heard it right here on the Ump, as you'll hear all of the games. And a guy that you also hear often is Kevin McGalpin. He is embedded with the Braves now 7 years, 4680 The Fan, and he joins us now. Kevin, welcome back, man. How are you?
Tom, I'm doing great. Always good to talk to you, pal.
Man, how much fun was that, right? I mean, it's looking like it's a gloomy day. Clouds are moving in. It looks like an October game almost, really. And you got, like, they're down 5-0 in the sixth inning. You don't feel like there's any hope. And then that game happens. That's a pretty good way to open things up.
Yeah, the Braves offense can thank Gabe Kapler for taking out Aaron Nola after only 68 pitches. I mean, that to me, turning point of yesterday's game. I mean, I was shocked that he took him out so early. You know, he's your opening day guy. He's your number one guy until Arrieta, you know, joins that rotation. Braves really didn't have a whole lot of good swings against Aaron Nola yesterday. But, you know, the Phillies bullpen comes in and they had some struggles yesterday. So it was nice to see the way Nick won the ball game, especially when he did, because, Tom, about 10 minutes after that ball cleared the fence, it just started pouring at SunTrust Park. We'd still be sitting there waiting to finish that game.
We'd be watching the Andy Griffith Show probably by now. It's what would have happened. Nola was cruising along. I mean, he only given up three hits and one earned run ultimately, but, you know, it wasn't really on him. But he was cruising along, and you would think, you know, most of the guys we saw around Major League Baseball, there were a lot of starters that went 80, 90 pitches. There was no reason really for him to come out that quickly.
No, there wasn't. And like I said, if there's one, you know, real question mark with the Phillies, it's their bullpen. And obviously they feel like they've upgraded it, you know, bringing Neshek back, that's going to help. We didn't even see him yesterday, but that's kind of an area where, you know, if you're trying to, you know, flip a coin, do we leave our number one guy in or, you know, roll the dice with the bullpen? You know, I personally would have given Nola at least a little bit longer of a leash, especially given a 5-run cushion. So, you know, that was a turning point right there. And, you know, Freddie Freeman hits the 2-run homer and the Braves are right back in it. And then you heard how it finished. So it was nice. It took the offense a while, but the sellout crowd that came out certainly got their money's worth in the end.
Yeah, and Vizcaino looked pretty good as well coming in there and locking things down. And, you know, when you look at it overall, you know, the big question about this team is where is the power going to come from? It's only one game. Wouldn't it be better if it was like football or basketball or something? Don't we want to savor this for another – we only get to savor it for another few hours. You know, when they're going to play again. We ought to savor this for a few days. But, you know, you wonder where the power is going to come from. But obviously – you know, they got it yesterday from, you know, from the guys like Freeman and Albies and then, of course, Markakis.
I'm excited about Ozzie Albies. I really am. I think a full season with him, you know, you saw the adjustments he made down the stretch last season. And then, you know, watching him this spring, I mean, he had a game in Bradenton against the Pirates where he homered from both sides of the plate. Now, look, I know it's only a spring training game, but I've been covering Major League Baseball for 9 years. I don't know that I've seen a player homer from both sides of the plate in the same game in a regular season game in person. So, you know, I think that he's really primed to have a big year. He's got some sneaky power. You know, he doesn't look like a, you know, a really intimidating guy, but boy, he can connect and send them a long way. Now, I don't expect to see Ozzie, you know, swinging for the fences every night. His job is to get on base, use his speed, and let the guys in the middle of the order drive him in. But, you know, there is a lot less power in this lineup than the last couple of years. I do think when Ronald Acuna comes up, that will help boost the offense, give him a little more pop, and maybe potentially in the middle of the order. But, you know, they're going to rely on some other guys to kind of step up. I think in the end, big picture, I expect to see this team really relying on the running game a lot more than they have had the last few years.
Kevin McAlpine with us from the Braves Radio Network. And give us an update on Camargo. When is he supposed to be in there? I know Flaherty picked up a hit yesterday, but playing at third. But when are we going to see Johan Camargo?
It probably won't be long into April. You know, with the new 10-day DL, he would only have to miss like the first 6 or 7 days of the season. So he can start out at AAA, get some ABs. He's been rehabbing. I talked to Brian Snitker about that yesterday, and he said that he feels like Johan's in a really good place. He's feeling great. Even in the last couple of days of camp, Johan told me that he was feeling a lot better. He was swinging off the tee. He was running the bases. So it's not going to be long. You know, so again, we'll see what happens with Flaherty or you know, some of the other spots in the roster, what they decide to do there. But, you know, Camargo will certainly give them a lift. You know, and he's a guy that can play third. He can play short, second. And if something happened to Freddie Freeman in an emergency situation, you could see Camargo at first base. Hopefully we don't have to worry about that this year like we did last year.
No. You don't want to have that problem happening. You want that guy, Freddie Freeman. And you know, and the thing is that as we watch Freddie now, you know, kind of come to this next section of his career, if you will. Yeah, he really is inspired by Chipper Jones. He really is a guy that wants to play his entire career with one team. And he is a guy that, you know, in front of our eyes, we've watched him be this young guy on the team to now being a, kind of the veteran guy who's in the peak of his career. And you know, it's with all the other moves that were made by the Braves, maybe the smartest thing was to keep that dude around.
Well, and, you know, you're right about that. And I think, you know, even to add to that point, the fact that the Braves front office has kept Freddie as in tune with what's going on throughout the course of this rebuild is equally as important. You know, he's your guy. He's your star player. He's the face of your franchise. And you don't want him, you know, starting to wonder what's going on. So the Braves have done a nice job with the previous regime and now with Alex Anthopoulos taking over of really keeping Freddie, you know, plugged in on what moves they're looking to make, what the direction is, what the future looks like. So I think, you know, having that open communication, that open dialogue is really important. And you're right. I think that Chipper has been a big influence on Freddie's career. I think that he's, you know, sees the writing on the wall that there's not a lot of guys that are going to spend their whole career with one team. And I think Freddie, when he says he wants to be a Brave for life, I really think, I truly believe that he means that. So I think that that's a good influence to have around. Certainly Freddie and Chipper have become very good friends over the years.
Now I'm a Dansby Swanson guy because I watched him come up as a freshman at Vanderbilt and covered him there at Vandy for his entire career there. And I really like that kid, and I want him to have the success he had when he first came up. What's your take on him and how long you think they'll go with him to give him every opportunity to really get it going? Because I just think that he's a guy that also could be – he could turn into that kind of a guy that's with the Braves for years to come.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that, you know, from a defensive standpoint, Dansby has looked strong during spring. I really like the work we saw him putting in. I think you could say the same for the entire ball club. Defense, a strong emphasis and, you know, an area that this team wants to get better at in 2018. So from a defensive standpoint, he's looked good. I think having Ozzie Albies across the middle with his double play partner, a full season with him up here at the big leagues will help as well. But those two guys really have become close, you know, off the field as well. So I think that will help, Dansby from a competence standpoint in the field. Offensively, still, you know, kind of a work in progress. You know, still trying to find that consistency you look for on a day-in, day-out basis. Didn't have a great spring offensively, but you can put what you want into, you know, spring training numbers. But I think, you know, from a big-picture standpoint, you'd just like to see Dansby have a more consistent stretch. You know, you saw it in spurts last year, but, you know, you'd like to see a prolonged month and a half where he's, you know, staying up the middle, you know, taking what's given to him, laying off those breaking balls down and away. That's really an area that opposing pitchers capitalized on him really, a significant amount in the first half of the season. That's why he had to go back to AAA Gwinnett and kind of refine some things so he could play every day and get those four ABs every day.
You know, and if Camargo is what we think he could be, now all of a sudden you look at that infield and you say, okay, that's that. I mean, that piece is put together mm-hmm. for a while. Now you start working on the outfield, and of course, Ronald Acuna would be such a big part of that. Do you expect him to come up on the 15th day? I mean, they're not screwing around here, right? This is all about the extra service year, correct? I mean, they're going to get him up there as soon as possible unless he goes 0 for 2 weeks, in AAA, right?
If he does half of what we saw in spring training, he'll be up here on that 15th day. I mean, he was extremely impressive. You know, this guy hits for average, hits for power. You look at his numbers, they got better in three different levels in the minor league system a year ago. That's hard to do. You know, he's still just 19 years old last season. Every pitcher he's facing is older than him. You know, he's the youngest player on every team he's been on coming up, and he's been a leader. He's been a guy that has, one of the guys that isn't afraid to stand up and kind of put the team on his back. So, yes, we will see him when he's eligible unless something really drastic was to happen. And I got to tell you, Tom, this guy is as good as advertised. Like I said, yeah. I talked to some scouts this spring, and I asked them, where's the weakness in his game? Where should Braves fans kind of, pump the brakes on Ronald Acuna? And they kind of just say, I don't know, he's not Andrew Jones. That's what one scout told me. He's not Andrew Jones. Okay, that's okay. Okay. I'm okay if he's not Andrew Jones, but that's still a pretty darn good comparison for a 20-year-old kid who hasn't been in the big leagues yet. So there's been a lot of those comparisons over the last couple of years. We will see him soon, and he's going to be must-see TV. He's going to be must-listen radio. He's going to put butts in the seats. You're going to stop what you're doing when Ronald Acuna comes up. He's just that good.
And let me just say this about Andrew Jones, because I know that there's always been a lot of conversation about him and how he approached the game. But for a guy that got as little support as he did in the Hall of Fame voting, you go and look at his numbers alongside the numbers of a lot of Hall of Famers back in the day. That guy should have got a lot more support as a Hall of Famer than what he got. I mean, that was kind of embarrassing if you really dig into the numbers and what he did in his career.
Yeah, I agree. And, defensively, he'll go down as one of the best center fielders to ever play the game. I think that part of that too was just being on a really crowded ballot this year. You look at all the names that were on there, the first ballot guys, and then the ones that were close a year ago. So I think that's part of the reason he maybe didn't get the support we thought he would. I would not be surprised at all if those numbers took a really big step forward next year. So does he get to the finish line? Does he get to where he needs to be to get in? Probably not. But Veterans Committee, someday down the road, I think they'll look back and say, this guy was one of the best players to ever roam center field in Major League Baseball history. And so it wouldn't surprise me if maybe that's how he gets in, but it could be quite a while for him to have to wait if that was the case.
Kevin McAlpine with us with the Braves Radio Network, and he'll be with us all season long on the Braves as well. Kevin and I go back quite a ways. Actually, I had him on back in the day when I was in Nashville, had him on the Phillies beat. He would come out every once in a while. Now 7 years with the Braves already. I mean, it's just crazy. That was the biggest opening day comeback in Braves history, so they try to carry it over till tonight. Our coverage will begin at 5:20 Central Time with the pregame. But Mike Fulton Effage goes tonight. He looked good in spring training. Any lineup changes for tonight, or they just roll that thing out there and see if they can keep it going now?
Well, the thing I'm curious about, Tom, is what they do behind the plate. With Tyler Flowers leaving last night's game with that oblique, and Brian Stutzman saying it doesn't sound great after the game. They'll probably know more today. I would think that a DL trip is in the works for Tyler Flowers. So then it leads to what do the Braves do behind the plate? You had Kurt Suzuki. You carried three catchers on the opening day roster. So Chris Stewart is here as well. He would probably be the guy that would share time behind the plate with Kurt Suzuki. But that could be a big loss, and hopefully it's not – for an extended period. Those obliques can, have a tendency to linger around a little bit, and, you got to give them plenty of time to cool down. So, we'll know more today, but that would probably be the only change I would expect. I think we'll see Tucker in left again. We'll see him against right-handers, and then, against lefties, maybe we see Lane Adams. Maybe we see, somebody else out there that, or Peter Borges, maybe he gets a chance to start a few games. But that would probably be the only change I would expect going into tonight.
I have been critical over the past year of Brian Snicker, and I was surprised that he returned this year. But I will say this. I liked seeing him get tossed yesterday. I mean, I didn't like seeing him get tossed by Jordan Baker to third base. In as much as that, I mean, Baker, I mean, really, 100 feet away, he's got the rabbit ears, and he's going to, you know. I mean, that was chicken bleep on Baker's part. But on the other hand, I like seeing Snitker come out. I like seeing a little bit of fight from him. Team was in a battle right there. I mean, you know, they had come by, they were coming back in the eighth inning at the time. It was a BS call. I mean, a check swing. It was clearly more of a swing than the one that wasn't called against, the one that was called against the Braves. So I didn't mind that on opening day, a little bit of smoke from Snitker.
And that's one of the reasons why he's here. I mean, the guys in the clubhouse have made it known how much they appreciate him having their back. I mean, they know that, you know, it's kind of like Bobby Cox. You know, he said the same thing when he was here, that those guys, you know, appreciated knowing that he would always come out there and stick up and defend his players. And, you know, he won't do that a lot, but if he feels like something needs to be said, Snit's not going to hold back, you know. And I think back to a conversation I had with Adam Wainwright a few years ago in St. Louis talking about Snit. He played for Snit 10 or 12 years ago in the minor leagues. And he said, look, Snit's a great guy. He's a low-key guy. But if he needs to give someone a chewing, he's going to give him a chewing. And that's a line that I'll never forget. And, you know, Snit's got he's got that little fiery side to him. Again, you don't see it often, but when it comes out, I would not want to be on the other end of that for sure.
Yeah. And it's hard to get thrown out of a game these days. You know what I mean? Now with the replay and everything else, it's hard to get tossed. I think it was only, the seventh or eighth time maybe that he's been tossed out of a game. So, you know, it's a little bit tough. But in any event, good win. And we'll see if they can back that up tonight with Foltynewicz on the bump. Kevin McAlpine has been our guest. He'll be joining us every Monday to wrap up the Braves weekend and look forward to the Braves week. And I look forward to that. Kevin, I appreciate you, man. You know what?
All right, man. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. All right. We'll get a break in and we'll come back with more right after this. You're listening to the Tom Abraham Show here on 730-1039 The Ump.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. The biggest story of the MLB offseason continued to be the biggest story of yesterday, Giancarlo Stanton. He's been the talk of baseball for months. First, it was his arrival in New York, and then it was, how is he going to adjust to New York and being a Yankee? I mean, plenty of great players arrive in New York. They embrace the pressure, only to get crushed by that same pressure. So how was Stanton going to respond? Well, if that first at-bat is anything to go by, pretty well. And then he did it again in the ninth. Listen, this guy's a savage. Not exactly breaking news. But to see this guy put on the type of laser show that he did in his Yankee debut on opening day on the road, that was unbelievable. Now the ball is in your court, Aaron Judge. If you and Stanton truly are going to be Mantle and Maris this year, let's see what you got, kid. I'm Jim Rome.
Are you at home, but you kind of wish you weren't? And you should really stick around the house because of reasons?
Jimmy, no baseball in the house!
That's why Buffalo Wild Wings has a new online ordering experience. So when your kid brings home a stray dog, that's actually a coyote, a rabid one, for whatever reason life requires you to stay put, get takeout with our new online ordering experience and be where you have to be. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Availability may vary.
Spring is in the air, so why not in the house? The Home Depot lets you invite spring indoors with select varieties of beautiful palms in 10-inch containers, a special buy at just $12.88 each. Breathe a little life into your hallway. Freshen up your bedroom or bath. Palms are easy to grow, easy to maintain, and right now, even easier to buy. Bring outdoors indoors with 10-inch assorted palms, now just $12.88, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, selection varies by store.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site according to Comscore total visits.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat?
You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team! Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this! Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Capital One presents Congress finalizing the Louisiana purchase.
Napoleon will never go for our offer. It's too low.
He's too low.
You're a nincompoop.
Oh, Jefferson has something.
Gentlemen, I've just received word from my Capital One app. The Louisiana purchase is complete.
Instant purchase notifications from Capital One, so you won't miss a purchase. Technology this helpful could make history.
What's in your wallet?
Not available for debit cards. Capital One Bank USA NA.
Hey, Rocket City. Ryan Brown here with you from the Jocks Roundtable. We're back live with you Monday, 6 until 10. National championship in college basketball. We'll discuss that. We'll get your best and worst of the weekend and our weekly visit with Paul Feinbaum at 7. It's all Monday on the Jocks Roundtable.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the most dynamic young players in the league are ready to get their chop on.
Hit hard to left and deep. Back to the wall. That ball is gone. Dansby Swanson.
Tonight, opening weekend continues at SunTrust Park in Atlanta as the Braves take on division rivals, the Philadelphia Phillies. Braves Radio goes on the air at 520 Central on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet, the back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us?
I mean, have you seen my label?
I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The sky becoming mostly sunny this afternoon. The high today, 61. Rather chilly tonight, clear with a low at 38. Tomorrow, a sunny day with a very nice warm up, the high 71. And for Sunday, the sky partially sunny, a small chance of an afternoon rain shower, the high at 67. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Wipe your paws. It's time to enter the doghouse.
Welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. I want to get back on it. Phone lines are open now, by the way. We'll go open lines to the top of the hour. I want to get back to this question of the Wonderlic scores and what impact they have. 866-485-9867, 866-485-9867. There's a number of – this is an interesting concept, and there's a number of different thoughts on this whole thing. The Wonderlic scores for the quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks that are coming out this year, 37 for Josh Allen, which is pretty high. We had a 29 for Josh Rosen, a 28 for Sam Darnold, a 25 for Baker Mayfield, a 13 for Lamar Jackson. But what does this all mean? Now, a couple of things here. First of all, average score by position in the NFL. It is of no surprise to me that offensive linemen are the smartest guys on the team. Offensive tackle 26, center 25. Quarterbacks 24, guard 23, tight end 22, safety 19. As you get into the defense and the skill positions, the numbers go down. Linebacker 19, cornerback 18, wide receiver 17, halfback 16. Now, there's a racial element to this. Some people think that the test is racially unbalanced. I don't think so, but I don't know because I'm not African-American, so I don't know. But some people think that the test is racially imbalanced, okay? Because when you and that could be supported to some extent when you look at the scores, defense, you know, typically your most African-American players are on defense, linebackers, corners, you know, wide receivers on offense, the skill positions, and running backs. And the four lowest scores are linebacker, corner, wide receiver, and halfback. Now, having said that, there have been very high scores by both white players and black players and very low scores by, you know, Jeff George got a 10, okay? Charles Rogers got a 10. Carlos Hyde got a 9. Terrell Pryor, a 7. And he couldn't make it as a quarterback in the NFL draft. Frank Gore, a 6. Mark Manningham, a 6. The lowest recorded score ever is Morris Claiborne, who had a 4. Now, 10 is literate. 10 is an indication that a player or a person is literate. It's disturbing that we can have college people, folks coming out of colleges here, that are not even literate, according to this test. By the way, I was keeping you updated on the Detroit-Pittsburgh game. It's the opening day for Detroit in Detroit. They blew a 6-4 lead, and then Pittsburgh scored 4 runs in the top of the ninth to take a 10-6 lead now. Detroit batting bottom of the ninth, 1 out. Now, players at the other end of the scale. Aaron Rodgers, 35. Sam Bradford, 36. Colin Kaepernick, 37. Andrew Luck, 37. Tony Romo, 37. Matt Stafford, 38. Eli Manning, 39. Alex Smith, 40. Carson Wentz, 40. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, dog, you just ran off all white players and Colin Kaepernick, who's half white. Well, how about Calvin Johnson, 41. Ryan Nassib, the quarterback from Syracuse, I believe, 41. Blaine Gabbert, who's now a Titan, 42. Eric Decker, 43. Greg McElroy, 43. We know he's a Rhodes Scholar. No, I mean, he's like actually a Rhodes Scholar. John Urschel, 43. He began working on a PhD in math at MIT in 2016 after being drafted in the fifth round of the 2014 NFL draft. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 48, Harvard. Ben Watson, 48. T-Mac, where did Ben Watson go to school? Do you know?
Oh, man, it sounds really familiar.
That's an outlier.
Ben Watson, that sounds so
old. The tight end, the big tight end, Ben Watson, you know?
Yeah, I know who he is. I'm saying just his school, I feel like it should roll off the tip of my tongue. Hold on. Let me see.
I'll tell you right now. He went to Georgia.
I was thinking SEC. I was hoping SEC.
The tight end out of Georgia.
Oh, 04. My goodness. It's been a while.
Been a while. All right. But then here's the interesting thing. And Pat McAnally, the only player ever to get a 50, a perfect score. It's 50 multiple choice questions. 50 multiple choice questions that you got 12 minutes to answer. However many you get right is your score. He was told by George Young, the former GM, deceased now, of the New York Giants, that players with too high a score were problematic, that coaches and front office guys don't like extremes one way or the other, but particularly not on the high side because they think guys who are intelligent will challenge authority too much. Mike Florio said scoring too high can be as much of a problem as scoring too low. Football coaches want to command the locker room. Being smarter than the individual players makes that easier. Having a guy in the locker room who maybe smarter than every member of the coaching staff can be viewed as a problem or at a minimum as a threat to the egos of men who hope to be able, when necessary, to outsmart players, especially when trying to manipulate them. And then there's this, T-Mac. You don't want defensive players to have too high a Wonderlic score. that the best defensive players have lower Wunderlich scores. That, in other words, for having a guy to play defense, to be doing what it takes, what you've got to do to go out there personality-wise to play defense in the NFL, that the last thing you want is to have too high a Wunderlich score.
Yeah,
if
man.
You're too smart to play defense.
Right. I don't want my defensive player out there thinking about it before he goes and hits somebody. I want a dog, man. I want him out there running somebody over. Don't think about it. Just hit somebody.
Which then leads to this. The arrest records of teams in the NFL. And I had a GM tell me this years ago that, look, you don't want to be the most arrested team in the NFL, but you don't want to be the least arrested team in the NFL either, because you can't win if you got a bunch of choir boys, and you can't win if you got a bunch of thugs. And I'm like, really? And yeah, there's a sweet spot, you know what I mean? Where you want to have guys just enough thuggeration on your team, they're just enough to win in football. I'm like, really?
That interests me so much, because other than it just being a coincidence, I wonder why. Like, why a right amount of players getting arrested is beneficial, other than just being an absolute coincidence.
Well, because you got guys that are on the edge of the – let's test it. Let's see how these teams – these are the most arrested teams. Let's see where the championships are. The most arrested team since 2000 now. We're going to go 2000, the turn of the century. The Minnesota Vikings, 49 arrests, no championships. Number two most arrested team is the Denver Broncos, including two domestic violence deals. Brandon Marshall with four of the arrests. They've had 47 arrests since the turn of the century. Now, they won a championship, but that was with Peyton Manning. And that year, they had the least number of arrests that they had had during this run. They've had 12 DUIs and 12 domestic violence since 2000. Number three, Cincinnati Bengals. No championships. Number four, most arrested team, the Tennessee Titans. Kenny Britt got arrested seven times, six of them with the Titans. 10 DUIs, four assaults, four domestic violence over that span, 36 arrests, no championships. Tampa Bay Buccaneers tied with the Titans. No championships. Well, they won one, what was that, 2002? They won one at 2002. Number six is the Indianapolis Colts. They got two? Did they get two? They're in six. The Jags, they're tied with six. Jags, nothing. Number eight is the Browns, nothing. Number nine is the Bears, nothing. Chiefs, nothing. Dolphins, nothing. Ravens, one. Seahawks, now we're into the, maybe into the sweet spot a little bit. 12th, Seahawks, Chargers, 49ers, Saints, Steelers are 17, right in the middle of the league. 17, they got some championships. 18, Packers, got some championships. Cardinals, Skins, Panthers, been to a couple of Super Bowls. Jets, Raiders, Falcons. The Patriots are 24th out of 32 teams. Now, they're not very high on the list, but they do have the murderer, Aaron Hernandez. They should only get a couple of extra points for that guy. Don't you think?
Now, what was the Titans wide receiver that you mentioned to me earlier?
Kenny Britt.
Kenny Britt, yeah. Isn't he in
New England? Six of his seven arrests came while he was with the Titans.
Isn't he in New England now?
Now he's in New England. But it's not. It's when
they're
you got
gonna
arrested.
They're not going to carry
no,
him
no,
over
No,
there.
No, no, no. Those are Titan arrests.
Bummer. It's a bummer for the Patriots.
Now, here's at the other end. The least arrested team, Houston Texans. Los Angeles Rams. Dallas Cowboys. Believe it or not, the Dallas Cowboys. Dez Bryant, Terry Glenn, and Joey Galloway are three of the more prominent Cowboy wide receivers to be arrested since 2000. Meanwhile, cornerback Dwayne Goodrich was charged with manslaughter in a hit-and-run accident and sentenced to 7.5 years in jail in 2003. No championships, though. Philadelphia finally won. a championship. They got 18 arrests, tied for 27th. Detroit, the Bills. So there's kind of a, you kind of want to be in the middle. You want to be in the middle with Wunderlich score. You don't want your team too smart and too quarterboy. You want to be like in the middle with arrests and a middle with brains. Detroit has just played it two runs in the bottom of the ninth to make it 10-8. One out, a man on second. They're a big fly away from tying this thing back up. A heck of a game going on there in Detroit. All right, when we come back, Brent Sobolewski will join us on the Bleacher Report. We'll keep the NFL conversation going. And Josh Ward on the SEC. It's all coming up next, right here on 730, 103.9 AM.
Sports Radio, 730, 103.9. The Op.
The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
Being a pit crew member is dangerous. Case in point, Chris Buescher's Jack Mann on the 37 car. He received torn muscles in his leg. Ouch. After being hit on pit road during an early stop at Martinsville, Zach Young was transported to a local hospital during a caution by ambulance because they don't have a tunnel at Martinsville, so they had to wait for the racing action to stop before they could evacuate him. I'm sure you were asking yourself the question, when was the last time a Cup Series race was postponed due to snow, like this past weekend at Martinsville? Well, to answer your question, in case you're discussing it at the water cooler today, is Atlanta 1993. William Byron is on talking about Phoenix getting their start-finish line moved to turns 1 and 2, among other things.
I don't really think it'll change the way the race is that much other than the restarts. I don't know how the restarts are going to go just because of the dog leg, but I think that it's going to be a new kind of fork in the road, and we'll see how that plays out once you get to turn one. I guess turn three right now, but it's definitely going to change the way you talk about the track. I'm sure the first time we come back, I'm going to say turn three, and it's going to be turn one, and we're going to be all confused. So
right.
I'm sure that's going to be exciting.
It's going to be chaos with that start-finish line right there between turns one and two.
The final lap.
If you're a pro, you don't buy a little of this or that. You buy a lot of this or that. And at the Home Depot, you save even more. Save up to 15% at bulk discounts on select pro-grade products from top brands like 3M, Loctite, and Liquid Nails. As a pro, you work hard for your money. You shouldn't have to work hard to save it. Up to 15% at bulk discounts on select pro-grade products. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. See store for details.
How do you Friday? Whether you're trying to firm up, slim down, feel better, or simply take a break, Smoothie King has the smoothie for you. And with our $5 Fridays, you can Friday with a purpose. 32-ounce smoothies are just $5, and 32-ounce meal replacements are just $6. All blends, all flavors, all Friday. So how do you Friday? Friday like a king. Only at Smoothie King, smoothies with a purpose. Participating locations, some restrictions may apply.
The Home Depot has free carpet installation for any carpet purchase over $699. Free installation, as in no hidden fees for moving furniture, ripping out old carpet, carpeting stairs. Fees other places charge for their free carpet installation, we don't. For carpet installation that really is free, start with carpet from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid on carpet priced $1 or more per square foot. Specialty items may be priced separately. License numbers including 47781 available at homedepot.com/license numbers.
Join Macy's and make good sense to round up, give back, and help support your local food banks. Here's how it works. Shop any Macy's store, round up your purchase, and donate your extra change up to 99 cents in support of Macy's Bag Hunger. Your donation will go to your store's local food bank and help feed families in your community. Round up your in-store purchase and make good sense and help Bag Hunger today at your local Macy's. Learn how you can help at Macy's.com/Macy's Gives.
Napa Know How.
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, what's that look on your face? Defeat? You want to save more money? Then start playing as a team. Bundle home and auto with Progressive. That's how you win big savings. What? You need music to get pumped? Let's do this. Hold on, I'm going to turn it up. That's too loud. Yeah, that's better.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all stages of situation.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181.
WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The